Well, we've been richly blessed, and may the Lord speak as we continue to worship. John chapter 1, we read in verse 14, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of Him and cried, saying, This was He of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God at any time, the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him." Law and grace. Last night we attempted to notice the miracle of the church. I want to notice for a few moments this morning the message of the church. The miracle of the church is, as Brother Silas has been preaching, that we have ears to hear. He's actually blessed us to have a desire to worship. And he speaks to us through his word. And the way God speaks to us, the message that comes to us, is the message of law and then grace. He tears us down before he can build us up. It was so plain throughout the words in Scripture that God would bring someone to the end of themselves before they could be used of God to bring him glory. We so often think that here we are, we just need to keep climbing. We'll be getting better for God. It works the other way. The more that we will be glory to God, our growth, are you watching, is this way. You're real excited to get started, aren't you? But that's the way God will be glorified. We must decrease if God is going to increase in our walk with Him. Now, just to prove my point, let's notice quickly some verses that teach us about the law and how God uses it. And it's astounding, just this repetition. Romans 3, "We know whatsoever the law saith, it saith to them who were under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God." So when you think of what God requires, the Ten Commandments, what are they for? They're to zip your mouth shut, buddy. They are to stop you in your tracks. They are to knock your knees out from under you and make you shut up. You have nothing to plead. Romans 4:15. "The law worketh me getting better, me being pleased with myself." No, the law worketh wrath. But notice this last part. "Where no law is, there is no transgression." Now sinners, those that know they're transgressors, right? Rejoice in grace. We rejoice in grace more, like the woman that was at Simon's house and the Savior gave him the you know, just the window of opportunity to say what he didn't really know was that he that loveth much has been forgiven much. So we all want to love God more, right? This is a real downer. You're going to have to know you're a greater sinner than you presently know you are. And the law works wrath. And where there is no law, there is no transgression. Romans 5:20. The law entered. So we'd know how holy God is, that's true. But it also shows us how unholy we are. The law entered that the offense might abound. Well, what's he saying? He's saying the more you try to serve God and be as good as God requires, if God's in the matter, the more you're going to see what a failure you are. It doesn't make good sense, but that's the way it works. The more you try in your own strength, the worse you're going to realize you are. We have a great, great, great need. Now, we don't get it often. We often cover it up. It's like the preacher I heard recently who was at the gym, and he said that his trainer said he was training two women together at the gym. And so the preacher said, well, why are you training them together? And he said, one has been a nun her whole life. She is depressed, discouraged. She can hardly keep going. She has devoted her entire life to God, and she just has about had it. And so the man said to his trainer, well, who's the other woman? And he said, she's been a woman that's lived a very immoral life. And she has been blessed to see her salvation in the Lord. And he said, the nun, and I'm not picking on Catholics, you understand, we're all just like this nun. We get discouraged trying to be so good that we fail to remember Christ loves sinners. That's the message. That is the message. Christ loved sinners. We need to see again that we cannot keep the law. It's impossible for us to walk in such a way. I was mentioning last night just about how anger is not just being mad at someone. It's even wanting in some way to think something evil about someone. It's just having an insult about them, towards them. Well, if all of this is true, that the law is first. The law came by Moses, but the law actually was ushering in the glorious news of the gospel of Christ. And so we want to turn from what the law, we need to get the law functionally, not just see it as Ten Commandments. The law is everywhere, by the way. If you're not looking at the Ten Commandments this morning as the law, you're still under law trying to justify ourselves. That's the way we are. You know what the greatest law in my life right now is? Thou shalt be young. And I don't measure up anymore. That's a law of our society. Some of you know the law, thou shalt be thin and beautiful. And it's crushing. Some know the law, thou shalt be successful in business. Or thou shalt get a certain degree. It's all law. And the more you work at that, and the more you think, if I get that, I'll be okay, you will crash. You will. And the more you look at the Ten Commandments and say, this is what I must be, it's still law. One's the big L, the Ten Commandments. The other's the little L. I will be a golf pro. I will be whatever. It doesn't work. It brings us to the end of ourselves. The law is diagnosing us. The law is bringing us to the place that we understand again what Christ has done for us. It's everywhere, the law. You heard about the guy that went to McDonald's? A co-worker saw him there. He was high up in the company. I mean, they eat at nice places. They take clients out where meals are hundreds of bucks, right? He's at McDonald's. He is chagrined at the thought he's been found out at McDonald's. So he says, I had to bring the kids out here on Saturday morning. They love McDonald's. They don't know. See, it's everywhere. We're always afraid we're going to be found out. So what's the deliverance? The law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. It's the gospel of grace. The church is always going to be delivering the message of grace. The church is always going to be preaching to us that we are great sinners, but that grace is our great deliverance. And so all scorekeeping can be left outside. All measuring, and we all do this. You measure that you're better than somebody because of your education. You measure that you're better than somebody else because of the place that you live. We measure each other because of what sex we are. We measure what gender we are. Okay, I'll make it, politically correct. We measure people because of whether or not they have advanced, whether they're tall. We're doing this all the time. But grace comes and says, it's not about you. Right now, just erase the bald men, the pot-bellied men, the young men, the old men. It doesn't matter. It doesn't even matter in a certain degree what you have accomplished, what you hope to. It's out. And to the sisters, just put aside your weight. Put it aside. Trash it. Get rid of it. Friends, that doesn't justify you. It doesn't make you who you are. It's who you are in Christ. It's what He has done for us. So just listen to some of these terms about the gospel and about grace. In Christ, there is nothing you can do to make Him love you more. Do you believe that? Amen. Romans 8. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. Nothing. Nothing can make Him love you less this morning. Nothing. If there's nothing that can make Him love us more, there's nothing that can make Him love us less. So when we come to church, what's the point? The point is we've come to praise a person, not to see who's in the pew. We've come to see that the gospel is not the ABCs of a doctrine, but the gospel is the A to Z of what Christ has done for us. The gospel is not a list of behaviors to be adopted. The gospel is an announcement to be believed. The gospel is an announcement. Grace is an announcement. It's a proclamation. It's a declaration. It is a signed and sealed document that says all of mine are mine. I've made them up and I am not comparing one to the other or one over the other. Friends, you talk about utopia. Friends, it is astounding. The church of God actually declares we're all one this morning. All together. talking about religion. Religion can trim off the fruit of sin, but it'll never get rid of the root, which is all this comparison, all this stuff that's going on. So let's turn to the book of Hebrews as we maybe zero in for just a second as I close with what we have in Christ, in grace. Beginning in verse 11. He that sanctified and they who are sanctified, he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he's not ashamed to call them brethren. Life's built pretty much out of this. Your birth certificate, right? Your resume, what you've made of yourself, and what's written on your tombstone. I mean, that's just about it. But friends, we need to turn and see that our birth is in Christ. And it's who we are in Him. It's that He fulfilled the law for us. And that our death is in Him. And that's all wrapped up in this passage. He that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he's not ashamed to call them brethren. You're born into the family of God. You are brethren. Saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again, I'll put my trust in Him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. For as much then as the children. These are all identifying marks of God's family. He's saying over and over again, you're my sons, you're my children. You are those that I love. You're the ones that I died for. Now watch how he considers what their life counts. For as much as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. He says the law, your accuser, Satan, cannot accuse you. He cannot belittle you. He cannot whisper in your ear, you're a nobody, you're a nothing, you're no good. He is not able to do that because Christ fulfilled the law. That's your resume. Christ not only died for us on the cross, he lived a perfect life, and his life perfection is imputed to you as well as his death substitution. Your resume reads perfect, blessed, mine. You are Christ's son. You have been given to him. This is who you are. And notice verse 15. And deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. He took not on him the nature of angels. He took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he's able to succor them that are tempted. That word succor means you run when you hear your loved one cry. Christ runs to us when we cry out because we're his. He died for us and our identity's all wrapped up in him. I thank you for the time. God bless.